Good morning to everyone. Glad to have you here. I've been informed this morning that due to the weather and the soggy grass, we won't be having our all-campus photo today. So sorry to those of you that all got all dolled up for today. Special apologies to Professor Bladel, who wore his orange sweater in hopes of standing out in the picture. What? So we'll do the all-campus photo on Monday, weather permitting. Let's begin our worship today with the morning prayer. You will find it on page 167 in the front part of your hymn book. Page 167, the morning prayer. And we join together in unison. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Thank you.
Hear now our reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. When I was in a counseling class at seminary years ago, one of the professors told us, be careful when you go and make a hospital call, because sometimes what you think the person is going to need to hear will change when you actually get in to start talking to them. And that became very obvious to me one day. Some of you have heard me tell this story before. I went to see a lady from the church I was serving. She was at the Mayo Clinic. She'd been in there for tests for cancer. And as I arrived, she had no family, elderly woman. As I arrived, I went to the nurse's station and I asked, do you know anything new about her condition? Have the tests come back? And the nurse said, well, are you family? I said, no. She said, I really can't tell you. And I said, well, she doesn't have any family, and I'm her pastor, and I just need to know when I go in to help prepare myself. She looked around, and called me off to the side, and she said, she does have cancer. So I sat down for a minute, took out my Bible, tried to think of the passage I would read, and started to, in my mind, put together my devotion for her, and came into the room, pulled back the curtain, and she was sitting in her bed eating breakfast, and she looked up at me and she said, did you hear the good news? I know how I'm going to die. Completely different reaction than I expected. Completely different reaction. She had such confidence and such trust in her Savior. It became very apparent to me. It quickly made me realize how little confidence and trust I sometimes can have in my Savior and in His Word. Pastors will tell you that a lot of times the people they serve in their congregations, even children, sometimes more so than the adults, can have a much stronger faith and trust and confidence in the Word of God and His promises than the pastors themselves do. Now, don't get me wrong. There are certainly aspects of our faith that have to do with knowledge and understanding. And here on this campus, as you take classes, you'll be blessed with that from a Christian biblical perspective, increasing your knowledge and understanding of God and of the universe and of the world that we live in and of yourself and of your talents. And there is certainly a level of knowledge that we need to have. But we need to distinguish that from what is being talked about in our text when it talks about trust. That's a different aspect of faith. The devil likes to tempt me to think that as long as I have intellectual knowledge about Christ, as long as I can spew off Christian doctrines or tell you certain Bible history accounts and things, that that's enough. But that's really not the trust aspect that's being described in our text. One of my uncles is a pastor, and he told me years ago that right in his neighborhood, there was a guy who was a lawyer, extremely brilliant man, who'd grown up in a Christian home. And when he would often have coffee with this guy. And he said this guy had now become an atheist. But he could tell him almost anything in the Bible that he wanted to know. And he could spout off Christian doctrine back to him, anything he wanted to know. The pastor said, sometimes he put me to shame. But he just didn't believe it. Having knowledge about Jesus Christ is not the same as having faith in him and trust in him. And sad to say, there will be people, even in eternal destruction, who had knowledge of Christ and knew things about him, maybe a lot, and yet didn't have faith in him. Think of Judas. Think of all the quotations Judas probably could have just spouted off from Jesus' mouth. Think of all the incidents that he got to witness and the miracles that he got to see and everything else, and yet we're told in Scripture that when he died, he did not have trust in Christ. Let me give you an illustration that shows the difference. Out at the University of Victoria in British Columbia, that's just north of Seattle, at that university they have a research center where students are involved in helping to develop flotation devices to save people's lives when a ship would crash. And they have in the last decade or so come up with a new coat called the floater coat. And the floater coat is something that, it's a coat that covers your entire torso. It staves off hypothermia if you happen to go in cold water. and they think it's the best life-saving device there is. Imagine if you were at that university and involved in that research. And then a few years later after you graduate, you happen to be on an Alaskan cruise and discover that that ship begins to sink and you're way out in the middle of the ocean. And suddenly they start opening up all of the bins and here are these very things that you helped to do research on. And you know that they're the best devices to save lives. And you begin telling people, put these on. And they say, are you sure this is going to do it? This doesn't look like much. And you say, yeah, I've been involved in the research. And you start giving the specifications and the details and everything about that device. That's having knowledge of it. But when you finally at the end have to put your suit on and jump into the cold water with it, that is trust. When God invites you to come and know about Christ, he doesn't just invite you to know about him with your head, but he invites you to put him on, to trust him with your heart, to trust that he is your Lord and Savior. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, God says to us, and lean not unto your own understanding, because our own understanding will often take us away from him. It's comforting for us to know that when we have that faith and confidence in our hearts that puts our hope of getting to heaven in our Savior and what he did for us, that inside of us has been done by God. When you in your soul, hearing the word of God, realize that I could never get myself to heaven, Christ has done it for me, and by paying for your sins on the cross and rising to life from the dead, he's given you the hope of everlasting life. When your heart grabs that by faith and holds on to that, isn't it great to know that that activity is not you? It's in you, but it's not you that's making it happen. It's God. And so the divine power that is making that happen, that divine origin of faith, seeks out the divine author of that faith and wants to be with the divine. And so the faith that's been created inside of you is always seeking God and seeking his word and putting your trust in him. And the reason our Lord gives us this encouragement in his word is this. The ultimate reason is that it is this confidence in Christ that will take us to heaven. It's for our eternal good. In Hebrew, the word for trust is the word for security. When people use the word security, that doesn't necessarily mean it's foolproof. When God uses the word security, it's foolproof. Someday, when we're in heaven, if we wanted to, we could look back on all the times, I know I could look back on all the times in my life when I failed to truly trust in the Lord, and I'm sure if I do that someday, I'll be shaking my head at myself. But no one has ever been let down who placed their trust and confidence in God and his word. Amen.